Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. 6 days after Peter had acknowledged Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Man, there's a lot here. There's so much here. So I'm just going to hit the highlights, but I've got 4 hours. I got 4 hours of material floating around in between these ears. So the first thing you take note of, it says 6 days in the gospel. That's the same number of days in the first reading. And these are the little clues that one reading influences another. So in the writing of the gospel, Matthew and Mark and Luke, they're using the Jewish Bible to help us understand the meaning of Jesus. And the thing to remember about Jesus is Jesus completely fills up the story. He's the perfection of the story. And the story is a pattern, which is true for Israel, it's true for the church, and it's true for each one of us. So what we have laid out for us here today is our journey of faith. So Matthew and Exodus, the transfiguration and Moses going up the mountain, you have clouds, you got voices, there's all these elements, they're the same. But what I didn't, well, I knew it because I've forgotten it. I like to forget stuff. So I can study the same thing over and over and keep learning and be excited every time. But I'd forgotten that in Exodus, there is this connection to the story of Genesis 22. In Genesis 22, God says to Abraham, I want you to kill your son. And he says, go up the mountain and do it. So they're going up the mountain, and Isaac being, he says, we got everything except the offering. And his dad says to him, God's going to provide the offering. But what's interesting is there are 10 verbs in that story about Abraham and Isaac that are in the story of Exodus. 10 verbs. The same expressions over and over again. There's a bunch of other little phrases and characters that are repeated in both stories. This is the way the Bible tells it. See, we're in America. We like things really straightforward. Have the bad guys be ugly. Have the good guys be beautiful. You know, it's like we want everything very good. Wear color-coded clothing so we know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. And spell everything out. And the Bible doesn't do that. What the Bible does is gives us a story and says, you have to work with it. So the story of Exodus and the story of Abraham and Isaac go together. But what's the missing piece? The Son, which happens on the Transfiguration. Because Jesus is the Son who's going to be sacrificed, and he gets sacrificed. Those three stories have to be read together. All right, so there's 2 more hours of material, which I'm going to stop right there. But what you need to understand is when you're reading these stories, Jesus is the one who ties it all together. Now, the next thing is let's look at Exodus, just Exodus. For 15 chapters, the first 15 chapters, God's dealing with a problem. And the problem is what happens to people when worldly power is used to crush them. In other words, what we would call big government and big business. Right? You know, you hear the stories like there's a company and someone comes, buys them up, and there's, you know, 50 people in this little town they're working, and they buy the company up and then all the jobs are gone, right? I mean, we hear that this happens all the time. And so they're left destitute, and that's oppression. And oppression is people making you do things that you don't think you should have to be doing, and that's oppression. So that's the worldly power. And in this case, it's exemplified by them building the with the bricks the stuff for Pharaoh. And what's Pharaoh's name? Right. You're absolutely right. He doesn't have a name. Now, do you think it's because they forgot? Or do you think they're saying more about Pharaoh than Pharaoh? Pharaoh is whoever's in charge. That's who the story is about. And the bricks, by the way, also showed up at a tower in Babel. It's the same bricks. So the story is how God sets people free from this slavery. Now, in America, when you say, I'm free, how do you finish the sentence? And I won't put you on the spot. I know you hate answering questions. So we said, I'm free to do whatever I please, whatever I want, whatever I desire. And it starts out when you're three and you say, you're not the boss of me. Do they still say that? You're not the boss. You're not the boss of me. All right. That's what we mean by freedom, that you're not the boss of me. I can do whatever I want, which means you get to do whatever you want. And how many things that you want to do are a really good idea? Right? That's why we have donuts. Who invented donuts? Someone says, you know, they're going to do whatever they want. So we'll just give them this. And they'll probably buy 12 of them. Right? And we eat the donuts. And we don't walk anywhere, we drive cars. Ooh, I got to go down to the mailbox. Go down the driveway, reach up, get that mail, get it. You know, and it was like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm so tired all the time, I don't feel good. That's because you eat donuts and don't walk. You just don't, you know, and we make these physical choices, but we do the same thing spiritually. Do you know every one of us should know the Bible well enough that when I'm taught about these things, we can say, yeah, I know that story. And a lot of times we don't. Because we have more important stories in our minds, like, well, I'm not even going to get into some of the stories that are in our minds, right? We fill our heads with nonsense. We fill our heads with stuff that doesn't matter. And even when we say our prayers, and I'm guilty as charged, man, it's like, ooh, I got to get evening prayer done because I wanted to watch that show tonight. Right? This show is really, really important. You know, and God understands, right? God always understands everything. God always understands why we're too busy for him. So this story of Egypt isn't just getting out of Egypt. It's getting Egypt out of us. And that's what the next chapters are about. So God says, here's your job. I want you to be the priest of the whole world, Israel. And here's the American story. I just want to know what I need to do to get to heaven. And I don't want to be your priest. And I don't want to have to do any more than I have. I just want the passing grade where I get into heaven. Nothing extra. I'm not a saint, not interested in being a saint. Have you ever found yourself saying that this morning? Like, do I even want to go to church? I don't need to be a saint. How many times do you have to go to be just in? Right? We're always looking for that. Well, the story of the Exodus is you got to get it out of you because you have a job. Your job is to be a priest for the whole world. Israel's job, the church's job, our job. Jesus fills it up perfectly, but it's our job too. Now, when you get to the mountain, this is where it gets tricky. So a lot of us just want to be in the, we're just going to be hanging around there. So Israel in the camp had like the center of the camp is where they did their worship. And then you had the people. And then you had the fringe element, right? And so if you could hang at the fringe but not step over into the other stuff, that's kind of like the ideal. So we're not too holy, not too, but we kind of got the fringy stuff going on. And the problem is, at the bottom of the hill, what takes place while Moses is up on the mountain? Children's books, the golden calf. So that's what happens to our worship. That's what happens to the church. So our goal, in not our stated goal, our real goal is to make this as comfortable as possible for us. And don't I know if the temperature's not the right? And it needs to be a good time, and it needs to be a convenient time. And we need to make sure that what you're saying up there, you can say a few challenging things, but just don't push too much, right? And that's what we want to make the church. In other words, we want to worship the golden calf. And we got to climb the mountain. And that's what Lent is. And so we climb the goal. And what have you been? How have you been climbing the mountain? I won't eat any chocolate for 40 days. Okay. That may not be a bad idea for lots of reasons. But is that climbing the mountain? What God says to Moses is, come on up. Right? Did you hear that? Come on up. Guess what none of you heard? I know none of you heard this because I didn't hear it till the third time. Come on up and wait. Did you hear wait? Twice, the word wait's in there twice. The first wait is a Hebrew verb which, for all practical purposes, is God's name. Yahweh. It's Yah. But it means just be. So what God says to Moses is, come up here and be. Be. In America, we don't be, we do. We do. We punch our microwave because it shouldn't take 4 minutes for an entire meal to be cooked. Let's move, let's pick it up. We multitask. We talk on the phone while we're driving to work, and ladies, I've noticed on a few occasions, we do our hair and our lips as well. I've been in many traffic situations like, I hope she's dressed. Because it looks like she's still got a lot of work going on over there, right? Because we don't have time. We got to go, and we're all do, and we have to do things. What did you do today? How'd you do today? What'd you do today? And we just don't know how to be. The other thing you'll notice is on the there's a cloud. We don't like churches with clouds. We like churches with answers, bullet point answers. The popular churches with lots of people, they have bullet point answers. What do I need to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the three things you need to do. And they're in alliteration as well. Three P's. No. Prepare, pray, and perform things. It's always going to be, and it's boom, one, two, three, God. And here's what God says. I need you to climb a mountain. So is there a ramp? Like, is there an easier way? No, you got to climb the mountain. All right. And when you get up here, it's going to be all cloudy. Is there a clear view? I like a room with a view. I'd like to know clearly what's going on. And what God's saying to you and me, trust me. And you don't learn trust by doing everything and doing and doing and doing and being out in the sun and having everything crystal clear for you. Because if he gives you the crystal clear answer and you don't live it, you don't understand it. So this is Lent. This is a time where we renew our commitment, all of us, to be faithful priests. All right? Next Sunday, I'm going to do a retreat. I know everybody can't come. I'm not trying to guilt or shame anybody. But we're going to look at Ash Wednesday. I really wish I was doing this next week, but Ash Wednesday's got plenty, too. There's a lot there. We're going to look at it, what it is we're committing to do during Lent. If you can't come, then I invite you to do it. Read it three times. The third time you read it, you're going to see stuff you didn't see before. Make this Lent a mountain climb to God. Make it the single most important thing that you do for the next, basically for March. Like, we're going to have a little bit of February, and then when we get to April 1st, it's Holy Week. So you're committing the month of March to say, I'm going to go up that mountain. I want to get close to God because that's all he wants. That's what he desperately wants. That's why he made us. That's why he's patiently waiting on us to turn around and come to him. And he's very sad lately because the world's filled with more and more people who disdain him. And that makes his heart sad. And we're his priests. And we can pray double so that they get covered too. All right? So let's commit to Lent. You do what you think is best, but make sure it's climbing a mountain and getting you closer to God. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith.